It's time for Coach Harvey Hyde's College Football Report, bringing you the best coverage and latest insight on SC football, the Pac-12 Conference, and the world of college football. It's time to huddle up and buckle up. Here's Coach Harvey Hyde.
Well, thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Yes, it is that time of day and week that you join me with our college football report, brought to us all by Terrible Herbs and Coors Light. We got a great show tonight because we're going to be talking with somebody who covers USC Trojan football every practice, every scrimmage, whenever he can get in Howard Jones Field or Brian Kennedy Field. He's there knocking on the door and waiting after practice for press conferences and interviews and all the things that make it a great job as far as for us all finding out what's happening with Trojan football. His name is Ryan Caharte. And Ryan, again, we want to thank you very much for joining us. The beat writer for USC football, it's almost that special time when you've been waiting for the entire spring, the spring football game this Saturday.
Indeed. Thanks for having me, Harvey.
You know, Ryan, I want to talk to you. You know, it's been a different type of spring as far as for me, as far as with USC Trojan football. I've spoken with you and others about Trojan football, but I really don't have a real grasp or feeling about what to expect on Saturday. Can you update us on that, your feeling?
You know, I can relate to that sentiment in that I think it's, you know, this spring practice, it's still shrouded kind of in questions. I don't know that we've learned a ton about the team, if only because we haven't been able to see much, and there are so many new contributors that, you know, all over both sides of the ball, a new quarterback who we've really only seen in extended action one time, new starting running back, new receiving core, offensive line is pretty much different. So there are a ton of things to watch for this weekend, and, you know, not a lot of info, at least so far, terms of clarity.
Ryan, now, normally in a community or a city like Southern California where you have all these different teams, franchises, pro football, UCLA across town, who's opened their practice up to everyone anytime, come on in, we're a new program, we want you to be a part of our program, come to our games and so on. Then with USC, how are they going to market? How are they planning on marketing USC Trojan football with all the competition out there, and then also going into the Big Ten?
Well, I think their answer would probably be that the USC tradition and all that comes with that kind of markets itself. So I don't know that they're super concerned with that, especially if you're Lincoln Riley. I think there are reasons to be interested in this team right now. Namely, I think, you know, just trying to understand where Miller Moss stands and how big of a step down it may be to go from Caleb Williams to Miller Moss. But, you know, in terms of people actually getting excited for this upcoming USC season, I've seen the message boards. I know they're still just as excited as they often are. And I think a lot of people have a lot of questions. And, you know, as is the case with USC, things can turn pretty quickly if you don't keep people pleased.
Can the fans and can the media and football people on one afternoon this Saturday for a two-hour scrimmage, and who knows if it's going to be ones against ones or ones against threes or whatever, really determine what to write about and the publications to write about with the secrecy that's gone on there and what type of team USC has?
It's not easy, I'll tell you that. But I do think we are going to see a lot this weekend. And I think, you know, with any sort of spring practice, you can really only overreact to what you see. And I think with USC especially, people will look at the defense right off the bat and, you know, we'll make snap judgments. And the reality is that Danton Lynn, the new defensive coordinator, you know, hasn't even really installed the whole defense yet. They've taken it very slow on that front. And I think, you know, we're only going to see a minimal amount of what that will be when it comes to the fall. But you're right, though. I mean, Certainly, I'm always in favor of more time for the media and more information available, but that is certainly not the way that Lincoln Riley has looked at things as of yet.
Have you had a format, Matt? Have they told you? I haven't received anything on what the actual plan is as far as the scrimmage breakdown.
Nope, they haven't said much about that. They've only talked, Lincoln Riley talked a little bit about the quarterback situation and how the expectation is that Miller Moss, Jaden Maiva, and Jake Jensen will all sort of rotate and get a chance. So, but that's about all we know. And I know it, even just a couple of days ago, people on the team or coaches didn't know. So I think that was still really being finalized. And, ultimately, I think there's only so much, again, that you can learn from a scenario like that. They're certainly going to set it up, for the defense to succeed, I'm sure, and, for Miller to look sharp. And, we'll just have to see how both of those sides of the ball rise to the occasion.
Ryan Kahari joins us, beat writer from the Los Angeles Times. He covers USC Trojan football. We're talking about spring practice, this coming 2024 season, the spring game on Saturday. And, of course, I'm going to ask him about his thoughts about the Big Ten and also the Trojans opening up in Las Vegas against LSU on Labor Day weekend. That'll be interesting for all the locals here in Las Vegas. And, Ryan, so you know, here on AM 1400, we carry USC Trojan football during the entire season. Ryan, the big story is Miller Moss as far as his great Holiday Bowl victory or assisting his team, 6 touchdown passes and so on. Yet there hasn't been a direct commitment to him being the starting quarterback. What do you think that the plan is there or the confidence in him as far as with the coaching staff?
I think all indications are that Miller Moss is going to be the starter in the fall unless, some major, shakeup were to happen. I think, they like what they've seen out of Jaden Maiva, but, ultimately he's just a younger player who doesn't have the same level of experience in the offense that Miller Moss does. I mean, Miller is a smart guy just in general, but, you've let him, sort of grow and evolve for 2 years on behind Caleb Williams, still getting a lot of snaps in practice. And, it seems for all intents and purposes that he's taken that time and run with it. And I think, again, it's difficult to judge him if only on that Holiday Bowl performance, just because that was certainly an amazing game. And he looked great, but, ultimately, I don't know that that's a tough bar to clear when that's what the expectation is from everyone who have only seen that game out of you. So, I think, Lincoln Riley's message to him all spring was that, to grow within yourself, not necessarily try to do too much. And I think, in a lot of ways, that was what plagued Caleb Williams a little bit last fall was, maybe he did try to do too much. And I think, Miller doesn't quite have the, amazing traits and potential that Caleb Williams does, at least from an athletic standpoint. So you can't really get away with that. But so, they need him to be a very smart, cerebral quarterback and really be as precise as possible to succeed in that role. And I think in some ways, just letting the competition continue on is, a good way for the room to just sort of approach the fall, and maybe you're trying to get more out of Jaden Maiva too in the process. And I think it can't hurt Miller, but I think all everyone involved kind of knows the deal here that Miller is currently going to be the guy, unless, say, someone came in the transfer portal, which is always a possibility these days.
And now we're going to take a short time out. And when we come back, I'll continue our conversation regarding USC's Trojans offense, defense, the portal, recruiting, all of the things that people love to hear you talk about since you're at practice every day. You'll be at every game the entire season. And I know you're excited about Saturday in the Coliseum at 12 noon for the 2024 edition that I've called the biggest secret in college football almost, to sort of display its talents at 12 noon. So I'm Harvey Hyde. Buckle up and ride along with us. Ryan Caharte joins us from the Los Angeles Times. If you're looking for a car or truck, you need to rent a car in Las Vegas or whatever, go to where I go. Locally, it's Budget Car and Truck Rental. Give them a call at 702-736-1212. That's 736-1212. You're listening to our College Football Report, brought to us all by Terrible Herbs and Coors Light. Buckle up. We'll be right back.
Terribles is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K in 65 days. Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terribles app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on
$1,000!
Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terrible Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959.
You work hard for your business. You need a bank that understands your business. Let Metals Bank be your business partner for all your banking needs. We are a full-service community bank with competitive loan and deposit products and services. We're also a preferred lender for SBA, 7A, and 504 loan programs. The experienced team at Meadows Bank will give you the services you need with the reliability you can depend on throughout branches in Las Vegas, Henderson, Reno, Pahrump, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Call our friendly, knowledgeable staff today at 702-471-BANK. That is 702-471-2265. Or use our convenient online banking service at meadowsbank.bank. Meadows Bank, where your business is our business.
The USC community exemplifies the notion of hard work and a winning attitude will make you a champion in anything you do. At Fletcher Jones Imports and Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, we also work hard to ensure our clients have a world-class experience. And speaking of champions, my dad came to Las Vegas in 1966 and built our first Nevada dealership. We are now four generations and proud to provide Las Vegas with a great selection and financing options to accommodate every budget. Plus, we're nice people, too. We might be hardcore USC fans, but our family's firmly planted in the Las Vegas Valley and will be for many years to come. Visit us at FletcherJones.com for details, or stop by and meet the team. Until then, fight on.
Fletcher Jones Imports, 7300 West Sahara Avenue, Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, 925 Auto Show Drive, and Fletcher Jones Imports Used Car and Truck Center, 7100 West Sahara Avenue. Experience the Fletcher Jones difference.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. If you're like me, pizza is not just a food, it's a way of life. And the folks at Settabello Pizza get every detail just right. Homemade dough made daily and hand-tossed. Extra virgin olive oil, freshly chopped tomatoes and basil, and generous portions of mozzarella cheese with a dizzying array of toppings. Join me at one of their two area locations, one at Green Valley Parkway, another one at Fort Apache and Sahara. No time to dine out? No problem. Order today and take it to go at Settabello.net. That's Settabello.net. Settabello Pizza, when only the best will do.
Monterey Lighting Solutions. Call Big Ed and Fast Eddie for a free, that's right, free evaluation of your building to see if you are really winning with your power saving. Have Monterey Solution in your huddle. You'll be saving money. That's making money. Call 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685. Remember those two plays, 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685.
Terribles is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K in 65 days! Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terribles app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on
$1,000!
Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terrible Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959.
Well, welcome back. I'm Harvey Hyde. You've joined us here with our College Football Report, brought to us all by Terrible Herbs and Coors Light. Our special guest tonight is the beat writer of the Los Angeles Times that covers USC football, Ryan Caharte. We're trying to get an interest story here on the big spring game that'll be held in the Coliseum this Saturday at 12 noon. I know Ryan will be there. I'll be there. And we're all anticipating to see exactly what the Trojans going to look like. Because it's been more or less, I feel, is a secret this spring as far as who's doing what and what the defense is doing, the offense is doing, and I think all of us are anxiously waiting to do that. So if you're going to be at the Coliseum, you'll be seeing what we see, and we'll all have our own opinions. Ryan, it seems like since Lincoln Riley has been at USC, the big question mark has not been the quarterback situation, obviously. Was Caleb Williams came with him from Oklahoma. But it always seems to be the offensive line and the defensive line as far as we need to rebuild the offensive line. We need to rebuild. We need to get some portal players on the offensive line. Some of the portal players have done well. Some of them haven't. It just seems as though it hasn't come along in the third season for USC to have what you might say a real confident feeling as far as on the offensive line. Am I correct or am I interpreting this wrong?
I think it's fair to say that offensive line is the biggest question mark on USC's offense. You're just, in terms of, you know, the line itself, you're dealing with a lot of inexperience. I mean, that left tackle, you know, everyone has been very complimentary about Elijah Page, but ultimately, you know, he's a sophomore. And was a freshman last year. And really, again, similar to Miller Moss, only has one real game in which, you know, he played a major role in the Holiday Bowl. So now he has been earning, like, very positive rave reviews for a while, even before then. But, you know, it just sort of underscores the inexperience up front that he's kind of the one that everyone feels confident in. Now, granted, you have Jonah Monheim moving into center. That's always kind of been seen as his destination when he gets to the NFL. So, you know, after he took a bit of a step back last year at right tackle, you know, I think they wanted to move that along. But the question is, at right tackle, what are you going to do? You know, right now, Mason Murphy seems like that guy. But, you know, ultimately, if one player goes down, Murphy also maybe has to move to guard. And you're trusting someone in Tobias Raymond, who, you know, was a three-star prospect that no one really knew about a couple years ago. And suddenly, you know, while he has been doing well to change his body, especially over the course of the last year, there's still someone who's very raw. So, you know, it feels like a house of cards a little bit up front. But that said, you know, the offensive line was really porous last year. And, you know, they had a lot of issues, at least according to Lincoln Riley, from a leadership standpoint. And, you know, some of the older players weren't really stepping up. So, you know, at this point, I think they're trusting a little bit that their high potential young guys will fill some of those voids. And that's just always a bit of a risky strategy.
Do you hear a more confident type of voice in Coach Lincoln Riley and the offensive line coach as far as it's going to be a line that we can depend on, or do you feel it's really a big question mark?
I mean, he's made it pretty clear that they need to bring in, you know, reinforcements through the transfer portal, that's the main focus in terms of this next window of the portal. So I think that says all you really need to know. you know, the last couple years, they've brought in sort of mercenary offensive linemen. And like you alluded to last year, it didn't necessarily work. So it's always a bit of a crapshoot when it comes to the offensive line in the portal. But, you know, I think it's pretty clear to Lincoln Riley just how badly things went when the offensive line broke down last year. And that was with someone in Caleb Williams who, you know, could make something out of nothing when you needed him to. Like I said earlier, Miller Moss, that's not necessarily the strength in his game.
They talk about the offense, but they really don't get specific about the running game portion of the offense. Is it going to be different, your feeling, than last year, or you think it'll be something that is utilized as far as part of the passing game? Do you think that they talk about they've got to run the football? Is it sincere? Do you believe that's part of their game as far as what they're planning on doing?
Well, you're right. It is a bit of a mystery, but, you know, they brought in another transfer, grad transfer running back who, you know, has a very versatile skill set, similar to Marshawn Lloyd, similar to Travis Dye the last couple years, in Woody Marks, who came from Mississippi State. And all signs point towards him kind of being the main back in a rotation that would also include, you know, Quentin Joyner, a sophomore, and maybe some Amarion Peterson, who's also a sophomore. I do think those three are kind of your main players in the run game. But, you know, Marks came from an offense in which he caught just as many passes as he, you know, carried the ball as a runner. Now, I know in his recruiting process to go to USC, the idea for him was that he wanted to go somewhere where he could be more of a balanced back. So I think we'll probably ultimately see something similar to what Marshawn Lloyd was last year, maybe with some more, you know, specific work in the passing game, just because Woody Marks does have that experience. But, you know, the question is, how does he run between the tackles? I can't say I've grinded enough Mississippi State tape to really speak on that myself, but that will be an interesting part of the run game. And like you've said, you know, that offensive line, again, is tied into the run game as well. So how strong that interior is will have a lot to do with, you know, how effective Woody Marks and others are.
Brian Cahardy joins us, beat writer for the Los Angeles Times for USC Trojan football. In the past, there's been a lot of hoopla, a lot of discussion, talking about the great receivers in the passing game, along with Caleb Williams and so on. To me, that's been a little quiet, too, in the spring, as far as pointing out the players, the receivers, as far as the great speed, who might be the three, the player, four, the rotations. Give us your opinion on that.
Yeah, I will say this. It's very unproven. I think, you know, everyone is familiar with Zachariah Branch, I think, at this point, just given how dynamic he was in special teams. And obviously he had some flashes there as a receiver in which he really showed, you know, he could be an explosive, you know, number one threat on a passing offense. Obviously, I think the expectation is that he's going to take a step forward. But, you know, beyond him, you're talking about a lot of other guys who are also sophomores. You know, it was a very talented freshman group last year, and a couple of guys started to come into their own over the course of the season. I know, you know, they're really confident in Deuce Robinson, who at, you know, 6'4", 6'5", you know, just has that ideal size as someone who can go up and get a deep ball if you need it, or it's just to catch a pass in traffic. And then there's Jacoby Lane, who, you know, has also, you know, at the catch point been very dynamic in a little bit that we've seen him. He was, you know, really strong in the bowl game with Miller Moss throwing to him. So I think we'll see a lot out of those guys. But, you know, beyond that, it is still hugely wide open. I mean, there is Kyron Hudson, who's kind of the most experienced member of that receiving core. You know, you could always tell me that he becomes, you know, the number two receiver in this offense. I wouldn't be that surprised. So a lot of unproven commodities, but no shortage of talent. And I do think ultimately if the quarterback play is there, you know, these receivers are dynamic enough to, you know, make this offense go.
Ryan, how about the discussion or the talk of the tight ends at USC? To me, I haven't really read that much or heard that much about the performances of the tight ends or who is the guy for this coming year. What have you heard?
Well, I think the expectation is that Lake McCree, who's now been around for a while in this offense, will be the guy. But, you know, he's been out this spring with an injury they suffered last season. And, you know, the expectation as far as we know it is that he should be ready for the fall. So, you know, he's kind of still that guy. But the most interesting thing in the spring has really been just the, you know, the development of some young guys. I know Zach Hansen, the tight ends coach, was talking the other day about a Joey Olson, you know, young guy, has not, you know, gotten much time, has really flashed some receiver skills that have impressed early on. But the difficulty with someone like him is that, you know, he has those natural receiving skills, but is not necessarily, you know, on par as a blocker yet. So that limits what you can do really from the tight end position. And that is the problem you run into with a lot of young depths at the tight end position, and that, you know, will only get deeper in the fall when, you know, USC brings in two guys, Walker Lyons and Walter Matthews, you know, two highly rated tight ends who, you know, presumably will one day have an impact. But now we're all just, you know, a lot of young, again, unproven commodities. So it's kind of a pattern on offense, pretty much every position except for running back, that, you know, just a lot of unproven talent, and how that all comes together is going to make a big difference in how this season goes.
Brian, a lot of conversation at the end of the season last year about the defense, the defensive coaching change and so on. New coaches come in. Coach Lincoln Riley's made the comment before spring practice that he's going to be more involved on the defensive side of the football. In the small amount of time that you're on the practice field when you go, 10 or 15 minutes to watch the early portion of practice, have you noticed or have you watched Coach on how much time he actually spends with the defense as far as through their drills and stretching and so on? Do you see any change in that?
Sure, I do. It does seem, at least to the small degree that we can see, that, you know, he has taken a more active role on the defense. And, you know, some of that I think is just, you know, everything is new on defense. And the head coach should naturally be more involved when things aren't necessarily yet running, you know, humming along like they had been. So I do think that's going to take a while, and I think in that meantime, you know, Lincoln's certainly going to be involved. But it's really hard to make a judgment, you know, from what we see on, you know, how much he is involved. Of course, when we ask, and no one's going to say, no, he's ignoring the defense. They're always going to say that Lincoln is more involved. And, you know, I think it was Bryson Shaw had said something about him being around a little bit more for, you know, some of the defensive meetings, and Lincoln kind of like had a problem with that and didn't agree. But, you know, I do think ultimately, he knows that, you know, he is going to be held accountable for what happens with this defense. I don't think that comes as any surprise to him. So, I have to imagine, even behind the scenes, that certainly he's playing a bigger role, or at least is paying much closer attention on the defensive side. And I do think it helps that, you know, he hired, moved coach over to quarterback's coach. First time he's ever had that in his entire career. So I think that probably says a little bit more about how he wants to manage as a CEO, and instead of necessarily being as involved in every little bit of the offense versus equal on both sides.
Brian, I've got to ask you this question before we take a break, because I might forget to ask you this when we come back. How do you focus or make your plan when you enter the gate there at the practices, when you know you only have so much time? What do you concentrate on to look at as far as during that short period of time?
You know, I think, you know, one of the main jobs that I have in those moments is to, you know, just sort of scan the area and understand who's there and who's not. I think, you know, as simple as that sounds, I think ultimately that is often the most interesting or important parts of the limited practice time that we're able to see. I mean, there's only so much you can glean from stretching and from, you know, just random drills that, you know, ultimately are only showing athleticism. I mean, I can see guys and how big they look and, you know, how fast they look and how quick they are, but, you know, that's really about it. So I do think just availability is probably the number one thing on my mind.
All right, we got to take a short time out. Again, I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our College Football Report. Our special guest is Ryan Carte from the Los Angeles Times, as he attends every practice, and he'll be at the Coliseum this Saturday for the UNLV the USC spring game. And again, we want to thank Meadows Bank for the sponsorship of this segment. Remember, Meadows Bank says, is your business ready to play in the big leagues? Meadows Bank can help you tackle the competition. Make your play and visit them today at meadowsbank.com or call 471-BANK. That's 471-BANK. Meadows Bank, consistently exceeding your expectations. We're going to take this short time out. You're listening to our College Football Report, brought to us by Terrible Herbs and Coors Light. Buckle up.
The USC community exemplifies the notion of hard work and a winning attitude will make you a champion in anything you do. At Fletcher Jones Imports and Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, we also work hard to ensure our clients have a world-class experience. And speaking of champions, my dad came to Las Vegas in 1966 and built our first Nevada dealership. We are now four generations and proud to provide Las Vegas with a great selection and financing options to accommodate every budget. Plus, we're nice people, too. We might be hardcore USC fans, but our family's firmly planted in the Las Vegas Valley and will be for many years to come. Visit us at FletcherJones.com for details or stop by and meet the team. Until then, fight on.
Fletcher Jones Imports, 7300 West Sahara Avenue, Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, 925 Auto Show Drive, and Fletcher Jones Imports Used Car and Truck Center, 7100 West Sahara Avenue. Experience the Fletcher Jones difference.
Are you looking to advertise a campaign, short film, a public service announcement, an important message? Look no further than Regency Outdoor. We have been around since 1974 and have the greatest locations in Southern California for your advertising goals. Our creative billboards are sure to catch everyone's attention. Make an impact anywhere and everywhere in Southern California. To get started and for more information, call 310-657-8883 or visit RegencyOutdoor.com. Regency makes it easier than ever to get your message everywhere in Southern California.
Have you heard about Standish Law? Yes, Standish Law, Las Vegas' premier family law firm. Ranked among the top 10 in client satisfaction by the American Institute of Family Lawyers and proud to be Rebel sponsors. If you are going through a divorce, you want them on your side. Schedule your appointment at StandishLaw.com. That's StandishLaw.com or call 702-998-9344.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. If you're like me, pizza's not just a food, it's a way of life. And the folks at Settabello Pizza get every detail just right. Homemade dough made daily and hand-tossed. Extra virgin olive oil, freshly chopped tomatoes and basil, and generous portions of mozzarella cheese with a dizzying array of toppings. Join me at one of their two area locations, one at Green Valley Parkway, another one at Fort Apache and Sahara. No time to dine out? No problem. Order today and take it to go at Settabello.net. That's Settabello.net. Settabello Pizza, when only the best will do.
Terrible's is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K and 65 days! Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terrible's app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on $1,000! Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terrible Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terrible's, deliberately different since 1959.
Welcome back. I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our College Football Report, brought to us by Terrible's and Coors Light in Las Vegas, Nevada. Buckle up and ride along with us. We have USC's beat writer from the Los Angeles Times with us, Ryan Caharte, as we all get ready for the spring game in the Coliseum this Saturday at 12 noon. If you're planning on being there, get there early. Enjoy the activities. It should be great weather. Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the defensive side of the football. At the end of the regular season, Coach Lincoln Riley made a coaching change there, and mostly every coach was replaced on the defensive side except for Coach Nua, and he is now coaching the defensive ends on the defensive side of the football. Your impression, when you watch this coaching staff on the field, what main differences, if you see any, can you make the comparison with the last defensive staff?
Well, I think probably the starkest difference and maybe the most impressive part of the hires that Lincoln Riley made in the offseason on that side of the ball is just the collective experience. I mean, he just speaking to, say, linebackers coach Matt Hentz, this is a guy who was a head coach, you know, at North Dakota State, a very legitimate program in the FCS, and, you know, chose to take a position coach job at USC. And yet, you know, just in speaking to him, it's clear that you know, Lincoln Riley and also Dan Lynn have sort of relied on that experience in people like him. I mean, you talk about someone like Doug Belk, who had experience as a defensive coordinator at Houston before coming to be a DBs coach at USC. There's a lot of instances of this. I mean, Eric Henderson on the defensive line was with the Rams, worked with Aaron Donald. You know, there's a wide breadth of experience in the way that, you know, I think this staff really didn't have last year. And I think, you know, that breeds sort of a confidence in scheme and a confidence in how it's taught that I think sort of got away from Alex Grinch and his staff last year. And I think, you know, just that level of confidence should in some way make a difference. Now the question is whether the talent is there to fill in the rest of that difference.
There's been a lot of question marks as far as on the defensive side of the football, as far as the defensive line, linebackers, of course, and you talk about the secondary, a lot of rebuilding going on. If you look at it, what area would you say would probably be the strongest as far as your evaluation? Without seeing practice, would it be the secondary? Would it be the linebackers? Would it be the defensive line? What feeling do you get will be the one that you feel is going to be the best prepared and ready to go with athletes?
Yeah, like you said, it is really hard to judge that as of now. But I'll say this. I feel like there's been a lot of confidence projected from everyone, coaches, players, about the secondary and the changes that have been made there. I mean, you had Kalen Bullock, who was, you know, one of the best defensive players on your team last year at that position, but you replace him now with two very experienced players who were standouts in the Pac-12 a year ago, and Kamari Ramsey, who was at UCLA, and Keely Arnold, who was at Oregon State. You know, the reviews for both of them have just been, you know, very, very high praise early on. So I do think that safety position is really probably the most locked up of any on the defense. And even at corner, where I think there was a lot of question marks a year ago, it seems like even just the transfers that were brought in, the makeover that they had hoped to do to fit more of what Dan Lynn wanted to do in the scheme has really taken hold. I mean, you just look at the corners, most of them, in the two deep, are at least 6'2". So I think just that size and the length that you get from someone like a John Humphrey, who was at UCLA, or even, you know, a returner in Jacoby Covington, who seems to be used a lot more in this scheme than he had been, you know, under Alex Grinch. You know, I think if you're able to really just, like, turn over one unit, I believe the most in the secondary as of right now.
You know, talking about the secondary, and everybody commented on this after the Holiday Bowl, the secondary played better. They felt they tackled better. They felt they had one of their best games of the year. Your thoughts on that? Are they being coached different? Are they fundamentally stronger? Are they practicing more on tackling? Your thoughts. I know you're not on the field long, and I'm putting you on the spot. I feel bad about that, but I'm trying to find out more about it for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately that fault goes to the coaching. It seems like, you know, just sort of gleaning what I can from, you know, asking guys about the new scheme versus last year's scheme, you know, it seems just to be a lot more cohesive message, and just the way it's being delivered, and, you know, the slow pace and measured progress that Dan Lynn has chosen versus kind of the approach that Alex Grinch took seems to be markedly different. Now, that said, it's so hard to tell because obviously everyone's feelings on that team right now are the changes on defense are working. We're all going to be better because of this. But, you know, ultimately that's not how it works out most of the time. So I do think it's going to be really hard to judge anything until we see them against LSU in September, because the last couple of years I've, you know, been convinced by coaches and players talking about the improvements on defense, and we never actually saw those come to fruition.
You know, Ryan, when you think about it, you know, during the spring there's been very little discussion on the defensive front side of the players. The linebackers, the defensive linemen, of course, Bear Alexander had a little bit of a some NFL discussions or NIL discussions and so on. But otherwise, it's really been pretty quiet on who's playing where and who's looking good and all of that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as it pertains to the defensive line, part of that is probably because they don't know what the situation is going to be. I would not be surprised if that's where they look to bring in more people. I mean, they had a nose tackle in Isaiah Rakes from Texas A&M who lasted a couple weeks during the spring, a couple months if you include the off-season workout, but, you know, decided, nope, this isn't for me after just transferring in. So that group's going to be a little thinner than they expected. And I, you know, the one guy that's really, you know, his name has been brought up a lot. He seems to have stood out more than most. Nate Clifton, the, you know, experienced defensive lineman who transferred from Vanderbilt. His name keeps coming up. And I do think Bear Alexander, ultimately, assuming he takes a step forward, like that talent that he brings, the athleticism, it's, you know, it's hard to stop a guy like that if he's completely engaged and, you know, has learned the scheme, like, as well as he could and is in his second year in the defense. I think, you know, him taking a step forward will make a big difference. But we have heard a decent amount about the linebackers. You know, I think Easton Oscaranis-Arnold is coming up a lot in terms of just his speed. You know, Eric Gentry, there's a lot of talk about how his skill set is maybe being used a little differently, maybe some rushing off the edge, which could make a difference. That's something he did when he was in high school in Arizona State as a freshman. So, you know, I think it's very fluid just in that front. I think, you know, even some young players like a Braylon Shelby, like maybe even a freshman, Cameron Fountain, who, you know, looks like a 25-year-old already at 18. I think there's some hope that some of these young guys can contribute, but just hard to know what they have as of yet, and I think that group may expand too with the portal.
Has there been any discussion on the use of Lucas, where he might play, the Texas A&M transfer, the five-star out of Arizona who came in last year, didn't play much? Have they discussed him much? I think he's number 6.
There has been quite a bit of discussion about him, actually. Namely, sort of referencing how he didn't live up to expectations last year. And he actually spoke to the media today and was pretty blunt. Just said, you know, I none of it was very good last year for him. I know, you know, some guys have suggested that maybe he's more locked in this year. We've heard the word, you know, mature. So I think we're, you know, seeing him sort of realize what was necessary for him to use all of his incredible athletic skills, which he undoubtedly has. I mean, last spring, just on athleticism alone, he was, you know, turning heads. But when it came to actually, you know, plugging into the scheme and on defense, there was never that. There was a disconnect always throughout the course of that season, and you saw his role diminish. So he said specifically he worked on, quote, everything in the offseason. So coaches seem pretty excited about his progress. Again, he's kind of a hard guy to read until we can really see him in September.
All right, we've got to take another short time out. Again, I'm Harvey Hyde with Ryan Carte from the Los Angeles Times, a beat writer that covers USC Trojan football. Our college football report comes to you every Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. I hope you mark it down. You could follow me at Coach Harvey Hyde, and I will always remind you about our kickoff time. Terrible Herbs and Coors Light, we thank you for the title sponsorship of our college football report. Buckle up, everyone, from Las Vegas, who will be right back with more football. Terrible Herbs has been serving the Las Vegas Valley for 70 years. Everyone knows Terrible's is the place to go for a quick snack, a hot cup of coffee, or a cold drink. Terrible's is the perfect place for a fill-up. And with over 100 locations in the Las Vegas Valley, there's always a Terrible's near you.
The USC community exemplifies the notion of hard work and a winning attitude will make you a champion in anything you do. At Fletcher Jones Imports and Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, we also work hard to ensure our clients have a world-class experience. And speaking of champions, my dad came to Las Vegas in 1966 and built our first Nevada dealership. We are now four generations and proud to provide Las Vegas with a great selection and financing options to accommodate every budget. Plus, we're nice people, too. We might be hardcore USC fans, but our family's firmly planted in the Las Vegas Valley and will be for many years to come. Visit us at FletcherJones.com for details or stop by and meet the team. Until then, fight on.
Fletcher Jones Imports, 7300 West Sahara Avenue, Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, 925 Auto Show Drive, and Fletcher Jones Imports Used Car and Truck Center, 7100 West Sahara Avenue. Experience the Fletcher Jones difference.
Big Dogs Brewing Company is proud to be Las Vegas' original hometown brewery since 1993. Our handcrafted beers are brewed fresh daily by our team of award-winning brewers. Big Dogs Brews are now available in cans at major retailers like Discount Liquor, Total Wine & More, Whole Foods Market, Smith's, Albertsons, Terrible's, Stations, and more. Big Dogs beers are available on draft at select restaurants and bars around Las Vegas. Ask for us by name. Visit us at Big Dogs. BigDogsBrews.com to track down our award-winning handcrafted brews. Or stop by Big Dog's Draft House in Rancho and Craig to sample a full range of our classic, seasonal, and specialty ales. Drink fresh. Drink local. Drink Big Dogs.
You work hard for your business. You need a bank that understands your business. Let Metals Bank be your business partner for all your banking needs. We are a full-service community bank with competitive loan and deposit products and services. We're also a preferred lender for SBA, 7A, and 504 loan programs. The experienced team at Meadows Bank will give you the services you need with the reliability you can depend on throughout branches in Las Vegas, Henderson, Reno, Pahrump, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Call our friendly, knowledgeable staff today at 702-471-BANK, that is 702-471-2265, or use our convenient online banking service at meadowsbank.bank. Meadows Bank, where your business is our business.
Monterey Lighting Solutions. Call Big Ed and Fast Eddie for a free, that's right, free evaluation of your building to see if you are really winning with your power saving. Have Monterey Solution in your huddle. You'll be saving money. That's making money. Call 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685. Remember those two plays, 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685.
Are you looking to advertise a campaign, short film, a public service announcement, an important message? Look no further than Regency Outdoor. We have been around since 1974 and have the greatest locations in Southern California for your advertising goals. Our creative billboards are sure to catch everyone's attention. Make an impact anywhere and everywhere in Southern California. To get started and for more information, call 310-657-8883 or visit RegencyOutdoor.com. Regency makes it easier than ever to get your message everywhere in Southern California.
Terrible's is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K in 65 days! Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terrible's app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on
$1,000!
Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terrible Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terrible's, deliberately different since 1959.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. If you're like me, pizza's not just a food, it's a way of life. And the folks at Settabello Pizza get every detail just right. Homemade dough made daily and hand-tossed. Extra virgin olive oil, freshly chopped tomatoes and basil, and generous portions of mozzarella cheese with a dizzying array of toppings. Join me at one of their two area locations, one at Green Valley Parkway, another one at Fort Apache and Sahara. No time to dine out? No problem. Order today and take it to go at Settabello.net. That's Settabello.net. Settebello Pizza, when only the best will do.
You work hard for your business. You need a bank that understands your business. Let Metals Bank be your business partner for all your banking needs. We are a full-service community bank with competitive loan and deposit products and services. We're also a preferred lender for SBA, 7A, and 504 loan programs. The experienced team at Metals Bank will give you the services you need with the reliability you can depend on throughout branches in Las Vegas, Henderson, Reno, Pahrump, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Call our friendly, knowledgeable staff today at 702-471-BANK. That is 702-471-2265. Or use our convenient online banking service at metalsbank.bank. Metals Bank, where your business is our business.
Well, welcome back. I'm Harvey Hive with Ryan Cahate from the Los Angeles Times. We're talking USC Trojan football. Our College Football Report show comes to you every Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Of course, we want to thank Terribles and Coors for the sponsorship of this show. Ryan, it's getting towards that time of year that the portal is opening up, and maybe you could pass on any rumors on any portal movement at USC.
You know, it's I don't traffic much in portal rumors anymore. It's a dangerous game to play when everything is changing so quickly. But you know, I think ultimately the reality is, you know, USC is looking very hard at offensive line, at defensive line. I'm sure, you know, there's a receiver probably in the mix to be a part of that group. You know, they have, say, maybe a half dozen open scholarship spots, and maybe that number gets bigger when inevitably a couple guys leave after spring. I think that's just the reality these days, and you know, I've gotten in too deep, I think, with some, you know, players saying they were going to enter the portal and then not, and I think ultimately it's just better not to traffic too much in those rumors.
Ryan, your thoughts on the Big Ten, the excitement of the Big Ten. Are you more disappointed about leaving the Pac-12 or excited about going to the Big Ten?
Well, selfishly, being that I grew up in the Big Ten and went to a Big Ten school, I personally am excited about the Big Ten move. But I do think, you know, it's a fascinating season in terms of football for this transition to happen, just given how much is changing with the roster, how different this team will look in the fall, and, you know, is it evolving to match up with some of these Big Ten teams? I think, you know, defensively, I think people would tell you within the building that's the point. But I'm curious offensively, too. To your point earlier, you know, how much can this team rely on the run game and, you know, the interior of its offensive line when you're going up against, you know, much stronger defensive fronts maybe than you've been used to in the Pac-12? It'll be an interesting test, and I think, you know, certainly at quarterback position, you know, Miller Moss is going to really need to rely on his offensive line when you're talking about going up against, say, Michigan's defensive line in late September when USC goes to Ann Arbor. So I think, you know, just there are a lot of exciting matchups to think about, and I think that should stretch us at least to the fall. But still a lot of work to be done on the administrative side in terms of making that transition. So it won't be a boring summer for USC's athletic department.
One last question, Ryan, and I'll let you go, because we're running sort of out of time. What would you think off of your head right now, and it's early, what would be a record that would be acceptable as far as to the USC people, as far as then for the first year, Caleb Williams gone, Miller Moss at the helm, and all of that?
Well, that's a tough question. If you're talking about what would be acceptable to USC fans, I feel like the expectation is always, would be in this case, that, you know, they need to win 10 games. I don't know with the schedule if that is likely. I think winning 9 games would be an impressive season, just given the transition that USC is going through, the fact that, you know, you had a Heisman-winning quarterback the last 2 years, and now, whatever you think of Miller Moss, you don't have that. So many questions to be determined still, and whether, you know, there's a lot of teams on the schedule that may take a step back. I mean, I think, you know, Michigan, in terms of, you know, being the defending national champions, I don't think we're going to see that caliber of team in September, especially. So, you know, if USC is able to, you know, upset Michigan early on in the season in Ann Arbor, I mean, there's no better statement than that. Maybe they ride the wave to being a successful team, but there's just so many unproven and unanswered questions that I think it's too early to predict that they would win more than, you know, 9 games at that.
Well, I tell you, Ryan, just mentioning playing at Michigan excites everyone. Just mentioning that and the possibility of beating Michigan this year's national champion at Michigan the first year in the Big Ten would be a big, big clue for the USC football team. Buddy, I got to let you go. I appreciate it very much. I know you've been working all day, being at USC's practice today and so on. You found time to join us, and we thank you, not just myself, everyone who's listening, thank you for giving us your input on USC Trojan football. I want to wish you a great evening, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Absolutely, Harvey. I'll see you there.
Thank you very much. Ryan Caharte from the Los Angeles Times has joined us tonight on our College Football Report. It's been all USC Trojan football. We want to thank Terribles and Coors Light for the sponsorship of this show. Of course, I want to thank Mark Hayes in the studio. He is our producer and engineer. Without him, it doesn't happen. And you out there, our listeners, we thank you. So from Las Vegas, I'm Harvey Hyde saying game day is every day, and we hope your team wins. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to College Football Report with Coach Harvey Hyde. Join the coach next Thursday evening at 6:05 p.m. as he brings you the best coverage and latest insight on SC football, the Pac-12 conference, and the world of college football here on AM 1400 KSHP Las Vegas.